Will he tip the card?
You know what?
We'll tip the card, Ian.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Oh, welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Mick Sharkey is in the house. Now, Shark, I want you to be confident. Are we going to tip the card tomorrow at Flemington?
Well, you know what, Michael? It's been a couple of weeks since I've said I'll tip the card, but I've been inspired by this, by, well, your absence to a degree, but following the progress of your holiday on Instagram. It has just lifted me. It's taken me to new levels, just seeing you frolicking poolside and bar side and everything else with the lovely Jackie. It's lifted my spirits. I can tell you, I will tip the card.
Well, I want that because it is one of the toughest days you'll see at Flemington.
Gee, no, it's not.
Gee, you've got a boring life. Speaking of, I'm going to give you half a wrap. I won't give you a full wrap.
Half a wrap?
Half a wrap.
Okay.
Which is as good as you get.
That's because as good as I get.
This is what you had to say last week about the Bostonian.
Tactical advantage in the Bostonian. Two good roughies for the Miners.
The Bostonian up on the inside. Osborne Ball's flying. Photo, the Bostonian.
Number 8, the Bostonian. Michael Carl at $43.10 and $6.90 wins the weight for age. Group 1, Doomben 10,000.
Now, half a wrap because you gave him a chance, yeah, but your little pea heart wouldn't allow you to put it on top.
Well,
so you missed out on the $43, but you copped the $6 a place.
I like the bit how you vetted it out, you poo-pooing that suggestion, saying the Bostonian, what's his even race? What's going on?
I didn't
here?
Say that.
You did so.
I was trying to look
you
up where the horse
did
was.
So. No, actually, somebody hit me on Twitter during the week and said, oh, I hope you followed up after you mentioned it on Felgate Show. I said, no, unfortunately I didn't. But he did, which was important. Mark, I think his name was.
Well,
so well done, Mark.
Let's find another Bostonian this weekend because we've got a nice group one with the Goodwood. We've got the Doomben Cup as well. It's an intriguing meeting up there. A couple of other races are very tasty as well. And we'll go through the full nine races at Flemington. So let's get stuck right into it. And I think Flemo's a tough day. I'm very happy to hear that you think it is a day where we can make some cash. We kick it off with the two-year-olds. The Hugh Bowman Hall of Fame Trophy. Good to see Huey Bowman elevated tonight, the function is. In Brisbane, I think, the Hall of Fame. We might discuss it on the verdict, but interesting that Hugh Bowman, who is at the zenith of his career, he's a Hall of Famer in waiting. You put him in now, but
he's still riding.
D. Gouchy's still sitting on the sidelines.
Poor old Gouch.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on. Mm. Shouldn't there be a rule like the AFL? Isn't there in the
a
AFL
couple of years
Hall of
into
Fame,
retirement?
You have to wait 2 years or 3 years or something like that. I think that's fair enough.
Interesting. Anyway.
Sure, we've got enough past champions that we can look to elevate their Hall of Fame status without having to put in people
does
that
we put in
still
participating. Anyway, we digress. Let's find the winner of the first race, Independent Road 550. The Pugilist, really good push from Tony McAvoy this morning, 440. 750, 11, Lasla. Luciola is a $4.20 chance and $6 for St. Edward's Crown. Tricky start to the day in my book, although I was quite taken with the push from Tony McAvoy and the Pugilist.
Yes, it's two runs. Hard to find fault with those, both at Balaclava, and on both occasions you could probably make a case why he should have won the race. I think there are a few horses in that boat, though, in this race, and I found it really hard to split two of them. One is number 2, Independent Road, who was back, well, last for most of the race in a 1,400-metre race at Bendigo on debut. And look, I just went too slowly in front for him, and once he finally got clear, and it took him a little while to find a passage to the outside of runners, he absolutely smacked the line. It was a really good run, and I think there'll be some form coming out of that race. There was a Friedman trained horse in there as well called Warning that I quite like, and the winner goes all right as well. 11 last, she's in this, but I don't think she'll get such an easy time of it near the speed this week. I just thought he was a great run there. Again, Flemington, 1400, big track, right distance, everything suits this horse. He'll get plenty of room from gate 9. And the other one that was perhaps a little bit off Broadway was number 9, Ethical Solution. Now, she had trialled up really well behind Grand Scholar, who we saw run a listed placing last week at Caulfield. She made her debut in the Breeders' Stakes at Morfettville behind a pretty good horse of Kieran Mars called Cooey Rupp. And I thought she was really good there. She was up behind the speed, travelled well, just got shuffled into an awkward spot coming to the turn and just had to balance up off heels to find the line. I didn't quite know what to do when she was stopped in her tracks, but her late work was good. I thought the run was good. She's going to go around at really nice odds in this race, and I think she can run a hell of a race. So in the first, I'm looking towards 2 and 9.
2 and 9. Ethical Solution is currently a $10 chance. So
yeah, I think it's a great each-way price for those that are that way inclined.
Will you back them both?
Yeah.
$5.50 independent
road. Little something on both of them for an interest.
Okay. Rails back into the trip.
Yes.
It was out 11. So
yes, fresh ground.
How do you think it'll race?
I think Flemington's usually pretty fair. I think Mr. O'Keefe does a very good job of making sure that's the case at Flemington.
So no discernible pattern, you don't
I
think?
Wouldn't have thought so unless he advises otherwise.
Well, let's see what he has to say. Liam O'Keefe joins us. How are you, Liam?
Morning, guys.
Mate, back to the true. What are we expecting at headquarters tomorrow?
Yeah, we're on a good four this morning. The going thick was 9.9 and the running rail back in the true position. So fine day today, top of 20 degrees, very heavy dew this morning. So it won't dry out a lot, but certainly presents well for tomorrow.
You've got great weather at this time of the year, another 20 degrees tomorrow, I believe, as well. Back to the true, do you think it might be advantageous to be up on the speed or near the fence early doors?
Nah, not at all. That inside 8, 9, 10 sort of metres is very uniform, so that'll cover most of the field sizes, and I'd expect them to win on the fence and out wide. It certainly walks well, and it's nice fresh ground, so with big fields, you think it'll generate good tempo and give everyone a chance?
Don't really have big fields down the straight. Where do you think they'll come, on the fence or down the middle?
Yeah, just the one straight race tomorrow, which is unusual. We normally have, sort of two or three at least, but I think they'll just come down the middle to outside, similar to the last few meetings. Not an overly big field, so I'll probably just come down as one bunch.
Now, I hope you've done your homework as Australia's most celebrated track tipster. What's your best of the day?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I couldn't even name a horse that's running. I haven't even had a look at the formula. I can't help you out there, but, no idea, Michael, to be honest.
All right, we'll give you one pass. Next time we get you on, you must provide a winner. He's trying to keep his strike rate up, I think that's what it is. Good on you, Liam.
Thank you. See ya.
He's looking for the red ink, not out.
The red ink.
All right, let's get on to race number two.
Red ink.
This is the Brent Thompson Hall of Fame. Good to see the babe in the Hall of Fame as well. I don't like this race. At all.
Rubbish it is.
Truly Discreet, $11. Ocean Deep, $4. $5, My Biddy. $8, Josephine C. Kingsbrook, $6.50. $7, Prayer Eclipse. I'll be watching, but for those who like to walk on the wild side, what do you suggest?
I suggest you go and do something else other than bet in this race, because these are... Look, to put it succinctly, the quicker these horses go to the breeding barn and leave us alone, the better. Honestly... These aren't a reliable group of mares by any stretch. Yeah, there's some recent winning form with Ocean Deep and Kingsbrook. I think Kingsbrook needs a wet track. Ocean Deep, if she can win two in a row, it'll be an achievement. There's a horse in the race called My Biddy, and my grandma used to have a cat called Biddy, so that's about as exciting as it gets for me. Look, I want to watch, in all seriousness, I want to have a look at number 12, Gold Label Miss. I don't think she can win this race. But second up last time, she beat a horse called Barry the Baptist, who's got a terrible name, but he's got ability. And that was at a mile on a wet track. So she's up in working at this time of year for a reason. She's hunting wet tracks. Watch for a good run and follow her up next time if she goes to a mile. That's the interest I have in this race. The rest of them, none whatsoever.
And good luck to all connections of those who have runner as in the second race.
Well, tomorrow. Of course, enjoy your day at headquarters for a share of $125,000, and I'll be running around the Great Ocean Road pretending to be somewhat of an athlete. So, I think they're a better place tomorrow.
What are you doing? You're going on a run?
Oh, I've been talked into doing some fun run thing at Apollo Bay.
How far?
I'm only doing the 6Ks, Michael. The quicker I get to the pub, the better. And it finishes right out the front of the pub, I've been told.
6Ks? You need to have a chat to the gator.
No, I don't. He gator does needs to have a look at his
Ks
life.
After
yeah, anything past 14Ks, right? That's what they make cars for. So you get in the car and you drive that distance. 42Ks. He's actually down there. He's doing the 21.
Is he really?
Yeah. And I said, I look forward to having a few beers with you. He said, I'll have one.
No, he's not allowed to drink.
Is there a more boring human?
Body is a temple.
A temple.
That's what he says. Race number three, Pat Lawler, Hall
temple
of Fame
overrun
trophy.
By monkeys, one of those ones, I think.
Rock and Gold's a roughie. Bandipur, who is flying and loves Flemington, $3.30. Miss Leonides, back to the 1,000. $2.80, Invincible Hour, $8. $5, Super Hard, Smart Coupe, a $7 chance. Now, this is a more intriguing race with some nice horses going around. Miss Leonides has been back, $2.80. She just was proven last start. She can't run a strong 12. Back to the 1,000 today, up against Bandipur and Invincible Hour. Do you think she will bounce back?
She's the fastest horse in this race, and she should lead on her own. It's just a matter of whether she goes down the straight and can handle that. She's been down there once before. She was pretty raw and new. It was early in her career. If she just can... The weight of it is on Joe Bowditch's shoulders here. He's got to rate her properly in front. He's got to get those early sectionals right, give her a little mid-race sort of cruise along, and then let her rip. Because she's the fastest horse in this race. It's that simple. If she is rated properly in front, they won't catch her. The only danger in this race is Super Hard, number 6. But what the heck has been going on its last two starts?
Well, he won like Farlap first up.
He looks phenomenal down the straight at 1,000 first up. He's carrying 3 kilos less here against a similar lot that he beat that day. Moonee Valley just wasn't his track. He was laying in. He was all over the shop when he got let off the chain eventually at the 250. And then Caulfield last time, they probably didn't have the tempo to suit him in that race. He still ran home okay. The tongue tie goes on. Now, I wonder if there's a little issue there. He's been getting his tongue back or over the bit or swallowing it, half swallowing it, whatever. That tongue tie, just to free up that airway, might be the solution. And coming back to 1,000, back to Flemington, where he's produced what I would suggest is his career best performance down the straight. So Miss Leonides, or Leonides, is the major bet. Her form is undeniable. She beat I Am Someone. I Am Someone went and won the Wongoom. Beat Eduardo. Bonds away in that race as well. Then third to Iconoclasm, who, yeah, he's a group horse. He might not be a group one horse, but he's certainly to group three level at least. Was a good run at Caulfield.
Could
there.
Be a group one she's, tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have thought so, but good luck to them. She's a good 1,000-metre horse, probably a listed class horse at 1,000 metres. She should be winning this. Super Hard, the only danger.
I can see Joe Bowditch just plotting the same course down the outside maybe and have her running her own little race down the straight track.
Yeah, and I think that's the scenario that has to unfold for her to win. If he tries to hold her up, others will sit up with her. And you take away her weapon, which is that pace. She can take horses out of their comfort zone. That's what she needs to do tomorrow. If you're wanting to play trifectas and whatnot, as I said, Super Hard, Smart Coupe, that'd be my next two.
Invincible Owl, no, with Barrier 1?
Just always running on. He doesn't win. Mm. Simple as that. It's been a long time since he's won at this level. She's... always runs well, and he'll probably run top four again. But I think as a win bet proposition, there are better options.
The favourite's into $2.80 now. Is that a bet?
Yeah, that is a bet.
Mm, confidence. $2.80, Miss Leonides. One of the good things of the day from Sharky at Flemington. Race number 4 is the Hallmark Hall of Fame trophy over 1,400 metres. Outrageous is at $12. Separate $4.20. Big Night Out's been well backed into $2.70. Spielberg $8.50. Juniper's one I'll give half a hope here. First up at $11. And then Thunderdome, who ran well last week, $9 as well. Now, this is a nice race. Big Night Out's got a lot of promise and got the right form line. Into 270 is getting tight, though. Separate back from South Australia. Where are you going here?
Working around Big Night Out to a degree. I think there's a horse in this race that's very much underrated and sort of getting under the radar at that $8 or $9, and that's number 4, Spielberg. Mm. Most of his career, he's been saved around that 1,200, 1,100, 1,000 metres, that sort of trip. I think they're just too sharp for him over those distances. When he got out over 13.2 back at Morfettville, he was great in a really good form race. There's been a couple of winners come out from that race. Others have run well in stakes grade. He gave them weight there, and he was very brave, quickened up nicely when he was asked to at 300, just dropped into that other gear and went to the line really well. I thought it was a really good effort. Then he came back in trip 3 weeks later to 1,100, and they were too quick for him early. He finished off well, though. Some of his sectionals in that race were very, very nice from the 600, furlong by furlong to the line. I think 1,400 is what this horse wants. It gets in on the minimum. Barrier 10, Zach Spain can come across and sit in the first four, basically at his leisure. There's a little bit of speed here with Outrageous and a couple of others rolling forward. I just think he gets into a great spot in that first four or five on settling, and I think he's a top each way bet, and he can beat Big Night Out, which has the obvious form lines through Zatori.
He's an $8.50 chance, Spielberg, and I liked his run last start. I was with you. He was making just not an eye-catching, flashing run, but he was solid to the line, wasn't
he? Yeah, it was a run of a horse that wanted more ground to my eye, and he gets that tomorrow.
Any thoughts about Juniper first up? No luck in the guineas behind Acadia Queen, and showed that he got some potential when trying by Weary last time in.
Yeah, he's got ability. I think he's a horse that will go better with some juice in the track.
Mm.
And he's not going to get that. He's 0 from 7 on good ground.
Yeah, that's a good point you make. What about Crockett? Did you hear Tony McAvoy earlier? He was spruking Crockett last week.
I missed him.
And
no,
he said
I backed
that
him last week.
Andrew Mallion said that the track was a bit pluggy, and it might have been racing worse than what it was rated. Crockett just didn't handle it. Pulled up like it didn't have a run.
Okay.
He thinks it will improve.
Well, I hope so. I had something on him last week. I might have to butter up or at least include him in, you know, minor place holes for the exotics, because I gave him a really good chance last week and he disappointed me. But there's an excuse, so you have to listen to trainers. That's why you get them on, and that's great info.
All right. Separate, $4.20.
Unders. Yeah, he's another one in the mix as well. He travelled wide last time. Yeah, it was a good run. He tried hard. I just think I'd rather be backing Spielberg at the price than Separate at $4.20.
All right, Spielberg to make his mark at Flemington tomorrow. $8.50 is the price you can get at the moment. We're going to take a break. Four races down at headquarters. We'll come back, look at the rest of the card, and we're also going to look at the major group races in Adelaide and Brisbane.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We're up to race number 5 at Flemington, which is the National Hall of Fame handicap. And this race may well be the most pivotal race of the day for punters. It could be the Quaddy Bank Builder, the linchpin in multis around the nation, and the man who has the onerous task of making sure that it comes to fruition for
all of
the punters is trainer Dan Bowman. And the horse I talk about is Be Good to Your Mother, who's into $1.70. Dan, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
Do you feel pressure?
Can't change anything now. It's out of my hand.
Well, absolutely flying at the moment. Rightful $1.70 chance in your mind?
It's a bit short for runner at Flemington, but look, he probably doesn't even have to produce what he did last start to be able to win a 78, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, that's the thing, Dan. You've placed him so well. He's gone through his grades and just made a mess of them each time he's gone out, and this is only a 78. He steps from a 70 last start, and you look back further to his run at Cranbourne. There's form there with Super Hussy, able to come out and win at Sale on the weekend. He's got not only the performances on the track, but the form stacking up behind him. He's just one of those horses that's arrived at the right time.
Yeah, we sort of made a long-range plan to try and get him back and target the back end of the autumn, early winter, because he's shown a little bit, but he still did a lot wrong. We just wanted to dodge the better ones, and seems to have paid off.
Each time he's gone to the track this time in, he's improved and improved out of sight. Has he improved since that unbelievable win at Sandown again?
I wouldn't say he has. We haven't really tested him, though. Like, we just kept kicking over. He had a jump out at Horsham last week and just a quiet gallop this week just to keep him up to the mark. But, you know, as Nick said, he's just come through great. I would have thought, comparing to the open 14 tomorrow, if I had to put him in that, he probably would have been a $5 or $6 chance in that. So that's probably why he's come up $1.70 and a 78.
Danny, the best thing about him is he's got that gate speed early. He pops himself into the right position on speed, and then he relaxes. Has that been that part of his racing pattern that you've worked on?
Yeah, definitely. Look, early days in his career, he wanted to do a lot wrong and over-race and run on fear a little bit. But this time in, he's started to improve his manners and do a lot more right. Still can do some things wrong. That's why we're just creeping through our grades instead of tucking him in an open handicap straight away. But look, from that gate, he's going to be able to put himself in a good spot and be thereabouts again.
What level do you think he can get to? Have you got higher aspirations after tomorrow?
I'd like to think that he might be a sort of a type horse, maybe in the spring. He's to progress. Obviously, he'd have to win tomorrow and probably win again his next start. But, yeah, he's sort of shaping that way, improving every time. And the figures he ran the other day, off a good speed, like you build high-pressure race and then show to turn to put off that high pressure. That sort of deserves the group-level horses, I don't know, do you think?
That'll do, mate. Yeah. Group one, Rupert Clark.
Yeah, that'll. I think we'll get the 78 out of the way tomorrow, if that's the case. In Adelaide, you've got a couple of good runners as well. In race three, you've got Nashville Sound. And in race six, you've got Golden Halo. Both travelled over okay?
Yeah, we're just on our way over now this morning. Both travelling well. But it's a good opportunity for Nashville Sound to jump in a stronger race. You know, he's been quite progressive. And I just felt that this year with the Andrew Ramsden being valid exempt for the Melbourne Cup, that a lot of the better ones would target that. We could sort of just sneak over here and time in a week earlier and try and strike a weaker 2,500-metre race, and on paper it sort of looks that way. But he's got to obviously take another step. And the filly ran really good the other week in the new plays. They just went too slow early and I think he was the only horse in the field to break 22 to last 400. So if he can produce a similar performance and they go a bit quicker early, then it'll bring them into the race at the finish.
Two good chances over there as well. You've got a few runners on the Syntho today at Ballarat. Have you got a winner?
I'm not really sure how to rate those. It's only a new track. Hard to get a guide on it. A lot of the guys that have had runners and had rides on it have sort of said it races like a sort of soft five, soft six. Not really consolidated yet. So look, I really go in there with a lot of question marks more than answers, sort of wondering how they'll handle it more than anything.
Good luck tomorrow, Dan. Could be a very big day for the stable.
Thank you.
Dan Bowman. Both these horses have got good chances. And I was really impressed with Nashville Sound's win over the Bull Carnival. He looked
was
gone.
Very good.
And then
very
the way he really outstretched the last couple of hundred. And Golden Halo, pity she's drawn the car park again. She was a really good run last time.
Oh, I just feel for Daniel because you cut him out just as I was about to give him a tip to go to the Windara Bakery at Panola.
Well, he'll be listening.
I hope he is. You know, that's where he needs to be stopping. Just go and fill up there. Some of the best coffee scrolls in that part of South Australia.
You're a pie man, not a scroll
man. Yeah, but you know, this time of the morning, a pie's not for everybody, so you've got, you know, the coffee scroll is there.
You can have a pie at 9:30.
Real coffee on the icing, you know, a little couple of little...
It's got to be icing, I don't want...
Yes, no glaze any sort of the, action, no always exactly. Icing, always icing.
Anyway, is this the good thing of the day?
I think so.
$1.70, you're happy
just
to play?
So well, yeah. Oh, well, look, I'd want a little bit better than that. I hope he gets out a little bit, but I'm not sure
you
that
think
he will.
He will? No.
I'm not sure that he will. Maybe it softens towards race time, but I don't think he can get any shorter than $1.70, surely. There's just nothing in this race that, on current form, has the scope that he does. He ran really good time last start. He was less than a second from the track record in benchmark 70 class. You know, that's pretty good going for a benchmark 70. I think he should just go and win. I'm not saying he's going to win by the margin that he did last time, but I think he's got these covered. They're so exposed, this field. We know what they're capable of. None of them are going anywhere but this grade. He can leave this grade and leave it quite rapidly.
Well, they've got designs for a Group 1 Rupert Clark in the spring. He should be winning, and that's why he's at
$1.70. Let's get a 78 out of the way first and probably a couple of other races, but it's good that ambition's there because Daniel's no mug. He knows a nice horse, a talented horse when he sees it, but he will still want to see this horse go and do a job tomorrow and do it well.
Be good to your mother. $1.70, the favourite, and maybe the good thing of the day at Flemington. Race 6 is the first leg of the quaddie. The So You Think Hall of Fame trophy over 1,600 metres, and this is another really nice race. Shawnee, $4.20, coming back from the Oaks in South Australia, drawn poorly 16. Fidelia, absolutely flying, $2.50. Titian Dancer, also going well, $9.50. Tysonic, not much luck last start, a $10 chance. Go further down to Part-Time Lover is a bit of a roughie at $26. Sealed, $17 as well. Both who could possibly run holes. Fidelia, $2.70. The win was breathtaking last start. Are you happy to back up $2.50?
It's virtually the same group of fillies. It's the same sort of class that she's been beating up on at her last two starts. There's no reason why she won't go and do it again. The best part of her races at the Sandown Hillside win and the Flemington win were the last 150 metres. She was so strong. And through the line, she was so strong. Classic Choice has run well since. Fabric's run well since without luck. The Flemington run, we haven't seen a lot of form out of yet, but she dominated that lot from the back of the field. You know, she was entitled probably to be beaten there, and if she was, you'd have said, oh, well, she came from last, and they didn't go all that hard, and you make excuses for her. But she found a way to win, and she was pulling away by an easy length on the line. I think she's probably the winner again. The ones you mentioned that are tighter in the market, I thought Shawnee's under the odds. She'll be better back to a mile. I didn't think she ran out a strong 2,000 in Adelaide after, you know, probably being entitled to the way she's been finding the line, but that barrier probably kills her chances a bit. Tahitian Dancer was no good leading last time. She needs to be ridden with a little bit of a sit. She can improve if she's ridden that way, but again, wide gate doesn't help her. Tysonic was supposed to head to that race in Adelaide. Was entered in a 2,000-metre race at Flemington, but scratched from that with just a minor issue. So she's, you know, had a little hiccup there. I think we watch her here and wait till she goes to 2,000 metres. And then you're really looking at horses that are trying to improve and get somewhere near the level that Fidelia has been at. I think the best roughie in the race is Sealed, number 16. Great first up win. Get the maiden out of the way at Cranbourne. Flemington, she had no luck behind Fidelia. She had to basically switch from the inside to the outside, lost momentum in doing so, as well as margin on horses going forward. And when she picked up, I thought she was really nice late. So I'd be backing Fidelia to win this, and I'd probably have an each-way bet Sealed, maybe one the win, three the place. That's how I'd play the race.
How does the race structure look for Fidelia? It doesn't look to be that much speed on paper.
I had, where are we, seven, what was seven? Thermida, I had Indigo Lass going forward, and I had Part-Time Lover going forward. They won't go overly hard. I think they'll just roll along, cruise along. But that's pretty much what they've been doing.
She doesn't need to get that far back as she did last start, does she?
That's what they've been doing those previous two wins. And they haven't been ripping along at a hectic tempo, and she's still been too good for them. I think this is a class, you know, it's a class factor more than anything else with Fidelia. She's probably a listed Group 3 class horse in waiting, and a lot of these probably found their mark, I would have thought.
Happy to take 250?
Yeah.
All right. How many in the quaddie do we need?
Quaddie-wise, I'll be taking 2, 3, 9, and 16.
Okay, so there's a bit of insurance there.
You could probably trim Yulong Meteor out, but
love Yulong Meteor.
The horse has got talent. She just doesn't have any luck. The two runs in Adelaide I thought were good. Back to Flemington behind Fidelia. She was another one that had no luck. She was caught up, basically stopped in her tracks on the inside there, went back to last. Wasn't asked to pick up, but still picked up late. That's always a good sign. If you wanted to trim one out of that quartet, she'd be the one. But definitely 2, 3, and 16 going.
All right, 2, 3, 9, and 16. First leg of the quaddie for the Shark. Race number 7 is the Mahogany Challenge Handicap over 2,000 metres. Declares War, $5. Phenom is at $13. Not a single cent, $9. Now, Nordic Symphony is heading to Adelaide. That's an important one to note.
She's the best of the day there.
Ooh, ooh. Spoiler alert. Wham, $7. Ran well last start. Vincentoire, $14. Now, I'm a done dreaming. You mentioned this horse last week. I thought it was nice on the line. It's a $23 chance on the backup. Collectible is a $12 chance as well. Open leg. Declares War. If it had drawn out, I'd be very, very happy to back it.
I don't think it's going any good at all.
I just think it's a horse that needs to roll and get momentum, and it hasn't had that clean air.
Maybe. The first couple of runs, I was looking to make excuses for it, you know, things going wrong, and then I've seen it again at Moonee Valley and again at Flemington, and he's been okay, but he's nowhere near the horse that he was last summer when he put those three or four wins together. So I'm not taking...
Been gelded after the Alistair Clark.
Yeah, I'm not taking any sort of price about him till he proves that he's back to form. So he will... Did I put him in the quaddie? No, I left him out of the quaddie. And I'll probably risk him until he wins. And if he beats me tomorrow, so be it. I thought this was a really tough race. And the horses that I did fancy, or that I've been following, have drawn wide. Wham was great last time behind a good horse, Tarwin, but drawn 17. I'm done dreaming. Never in the race last time, but I don't think Caulfield suit and the pace of the race certainly didn't suit him. I wanted a big track in 2000, but I didn't think it'd be 7 days later.
Mm.
So he goes in the quaddy, but I'm not overly confident. And Ligulate was massive at Caulfield. He was enormous, this horse, sitting wide, and he kept staying on. But he's drawn 22. I think, well, it might sound ridiculous, but there's a horse in this race at about 50-1 that has a genuine winning chance, and that is number 18, Dalmatia. Really good behind Fidelia first up at 13. Sandown Hillside again in that good race won by Vanuatu. That was a pretty strong mare's 70. She was back inside and making good ground, and her sectionals were strong. 2,000 metres, Flemington. That's what she's after. She is far from the worst $51 shot that I've seen.
You backed it?
She's a must for the quaddie.
Have you already backed it?
Have I already backed it?
Yeah.
No, but I'm doing so as we speak.
She's because into $34.
That I haven't backed her, and I've just given it out.
She's into $34.
On a radio station that people who have a bet listen to.
Now,
just to
recap, declares war, no hope, you said.
I'm risking it. Okay. Absolutely risking it.
Great to have a chat to trainer Matt Kamani now. How are you, Matt? What do you think about the Sharks assessment?
Yeah, well, that's certainly put a bit of a dampener on things, isn't it?
Well, Matt, it depends. You could say I'm polarising with my opinion sometime. Others might be high-fiving that I've said it's got no chance. Might make it immoral. How are you turning his form around, though?
What, sorry?
How are you going to turn his form around?
Well, I don't think it's his form, really, that needs to be turned around. I think his form says that he's ultra-competitive in this race. I think what he needs is luck. I think that's what needs to be turned around. And unfortunately, he hasn't started very well because we've got what is for him, I think, a bad barrier, because he just seems to get himself into trouble all the time. And we saw it when he had those wins, but at that level, he managed to get himself out of trouble each time. I'm hoping he can do that again tomorrow. I think this sort of grade is winnable for him. He just needs to have that clean run on the outside.
Is he a horse? He looks to me to be a horse that wants to have clear air to get rolling and run into a race.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what we all assume, I guess. But his wins, he's been sort of covered up, and then last minute gone bang. Well, I think that was probably just because he was the best horse in the race and could do that. So I think at this grade, which is a bit of a step up from those wins, I think he needs a clean run, a bit of room on the outside, and a chance to build up.
You know, the really disappointing thing for me, Michael, is when an intelligent, well-spoken gentleman like Matt makes a good case against the case you've just made, because now he's got me.
But you should be used to that, second guessing.
Well, it happens quite often. Yeah,
I have to confess, I hadn't heard your full argument, Shark, I'm afraid, so I didn't know what your reasons were, other than just
said it's been trained really poorly, actually.
I did not say that. Well, let's talk about a horse that's been trained really well, and that's One More Try in race 8. She's been bloody brilliant, Matt. Where are you going with her this time around? She built that rating up during the spring, and you won a nice race during the Flemington Carnival with her. What's the goal with her?
Well, we were sort of looking at potentially getting up to Queensland, but that's come around a bit too soon for her, and she really needed a good 3-month break over the summer. So what we thought we'd do is just, because she'd come back in really good form, that trial at Cranbourne was fantastic, and we thought we'd keep going, give her a couple of little starts, just see where we're at, and then potentially give her a little let up, not even necessarily leave the stable, but just a bit of a freshen up, and then look at the spring for her.
First up, winning tomorrow. What are your expectations?
Well, she has impressed me over this sort of distance, isn't 1500, when I really thought that she was just an out and out 2000 meter plus horse. So I'm hesitant to say that 1400 is too short, but I think up in this grade against some pretty decent horses that have had a few runs into this race, I think she will struggle a bit with the distance because she's just got a huge stride. And I'm hesitant to say that it's going to be way too short because she keeps proving me wrong, and it can be a bit explosive, and showed us at Cranbourne that she's got the speed, but that is a trial and completely different kettle of fish. So I think 1400 is definitely the lower margins of her distance range, and I would say probably second up over a bit more distance would be best for her.
You've got a nice horse for OTI called Future Score, Matt. Now, I'm assuming there might have been a slight hiccup from its last win because we haven't seen him in a few weeks. Does he go to Adelaide to race three, or does he go Sunday at Bendigo?
He goes to Adelaide. Unfortunately, after his last run, he got a... I think he might have hyperextended his fetlock or something. He got a large joint, and we were obviously quite worried about it, but came back clean on any x-rays and scans and any other diagnostic work we could think of, and just needed a couple of weeks to recover from it, and he's come back really well. But yeah, it's going to be tough. He's not very well treated by the handicapper, who's giving better horses weight, and he's going 2500 after 7 weeks between runs, and with two of those weeks not doing much. So it's not going to be easy. We were looking at Bendigo as a potential alternative, and he is better treated there, although would have to carry top weight. That's not an easy race either, so we thought we'd give it a go, see how he goes in Adelaide.
Matty, good luck over the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Matty Kamani joining us there. Time's getting away from us, Sharky. Give us your on-top selection and your quaddie numbers in the Mahogany.
On top selection, a bit of a Hail Mary attempt, I guess you'd say. Number 18, Dalmatia. Mm. Numbers in the quaddie, 2, 6, 7, 12, 17 and 18.
All right, so that is 2. You're leaving out Declares War.
Yep.
6, Wham goes in 7. Ligulate 12 is I'm Done Dreaming 17. Collectible. And the 18, Dalmatia, $34, Sharky's on-top selection. Race number 8. Now, we take out the 1 and the 2, Magic Console and also Fastnet Tempest, because they are both racing in Adelaide. So, and we also take out the bottom one, which is Galaxy Raider. So the market has changed quite a bit here. Mr. Marathon Man, $12. $10, Torgerson. Hassan Eagle, $5.50. Mamsel Tess, $5.50. $7, Mascolino. Shoko, $8.50. $4.40. One More Try. And Spannerhead, $6.50. One More Try is the favourite, not the biggest rat you've just heard from Matty Kamani. This is an open race.
Yeah, I'll risk One More Try here. I think she'd be better over more ground, as Matt said. You know, there's other things down the road for her. I thought in a race where there's no obvious speed, I probably thought Shoko would lead, maybe Mamsel Tess Mascolino, something like that. Spannerhead would get a really nice drop on those, maybe fourth or fifth on settling from a good gate. Mick Poise, 2 kilos come off. She carries a lightweight of 52. She was very good first up, closing off in the race behind Twitchy Frank on Vobis Gold Day at Caulfield. Thought that was a really nice effort. Her times were good. 2 of her 4 wins have come second up, well drawn. There's a lot pointing to her, particularly a good track and distance record, to say she will run a really nice race at each way odds. I had her on top, number 11. I thought Mamsel Tess, back to 1400, would improve. Just that 11 to 12 last time. Just not quite sharp enough for the 1200 in the Sangster, but she was... yeah, she wasn't disgraced there. Mascolino's trialled well, and he goes in the quaddy as well. But a finish sort of quaddy leg for mine. 3, 6, 7, and 11, and 11 is on top.
Gee, I think it's a confusing race now with the scratchings. The Sharky is putting 4 in the quaddy. Mr. Marathon Man is sticking with the 11, the 6, and the 7 as well. All right, let's get to the last race. And it is great to see the champ Vo Rogue in the Hall of Fame. Boom Time. I don't know if he's going that well. Home by Midnight's a $12 chance. Pacadali, $6. Mantastic, who was good last start, $3.90 favourite. Second Bullet, $6.50. Mahama Deus is $7 pop. And the others are double figure odds. A tricky end for mine. Who do you like?
Pacadali is the horse I've got on top. I thought his run... I think that race would be a good form race too. I think Pacadali's a great chance. I think Home by Midnight's a great chance, but Home by Midnight probably uses this as a bit of a springboard towards a Ramsden or perhaps something in Queensland. Pacadali covered a heap of ground in that race at Flemington, won by Mantastic, and just peaked with about 150 to go, and you could see his effort just sort of ended there. I think that run will bring him on. He's drawn really well in one. Tio Nugent's 3 kilos come off again. He's a horse that goes well for apprentices. That's something else you have to factor into these races at this time of year. There's a lot of kilo claimers going around, and you want the horses that gel well with those younger riders. He's pretty straightforward, Pacadali. I'd like to think he'd be in midfield at worst. He's got a good turn of foot, and his two runs this time around have shown that he's back to something like his best form. Last prep, just wasn't entirely convinced that he was going as well as he could go. Home by Midnight's the horse I think that will be finding the line really well from well off the speed. This should be a nice tune-up race for him for next start out over more ground. And Muhammad Ayas back to 2,000 metres. He's on the back up, but I think the 1,600 just was a bit short for him last time after he got keen and pulling at Caulfield behind Mr. Quickie. So back to Flemington, big track. He should bounce back as well. We're coming home with 2, 3, 6, and 7 in the quaddie. Pacadali is on top.
6 and 7. Pacadali currently $6. So sounds like with a fair degree of confidence for Pacadali.
I think Pacadali will run really well.
All right. Well, that's our look at Flemington. We'll get Sharky's best from headquarters just before 10 o'clock. When we come back, though, and have a look at the Group 1s, the Goodwood and the Doomben Cup.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Time to look at the Group 1s interstate. We'll start with the Goodwood, and a nice card for Goodwood Day. Not a stellar Group 1 day, but there's some nice races and chances. Sharky, how do you see the Goodwood? I don't even know if I need
to ask, do I?
Because
do you really have to ask?
There's a few SMSs coming through here.
The love affair continues.
Hi, Sharky. Thanks for the wrap on radio. You've tipped me some great each-way horses to back. That's from Mark.
There you go, Mark.
Shark, champion. I always back you to back the card, but I really want to know, where's the bloody boat? There was one that I
where's
found
the boat?
Earlier. You said you were going to buy a boat. Here
the
we go.
Boat's coming, don't
if
worry.
Shark tips Sprite, he needs to go back to school. Cannot give the boys weight and win. Booker has more hope than her. That's from old mate Hariba.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where is the quality in this race? Sprite's the best horse in this race. She just won a Group 1. Booker is the other best horse in the race at the same handicap rating. The rest of these, this is the dream for these horses to be able to be running in a Group 1 that they have some skerrick of hope in. This is the worst Goodwood I've ever seen. It's horrendous. Innkeeper's in it. Innkeeper's a good horse. He couldn't win a Wongoo.
He was butchered in the Wongoo.
Oh, listen. This is not a great Goodwood. Sprite does what she did 2 weeks ago. She goes very, very close to winning this. Weights aside, it's a set weights and penalties race. She's a Group 1 winner.
It is a thin
field. There are two mares at the top of the weights here. That's how bad this race is. There is no quality. Iconoclasm's a nice horse. Goodwin first up. It's a massive ask. Second up. Despite the obvious holes in the race. Valor Road, nice horse. I don't see him winning this. Then we're down to Wongoom form. Like, come on.
We talk about prize money
it's not
South Australia.
It's not a massive leap for Sprite to win again.
We know South Australia is struggling at the moment. And they're not getting any support. But this is still, I think it's come down from $1 million, but it's still a $750,000 race. Where are the better sprinters? Or have we got no more?
Well,
after the
we
Sydney
do, that just may
and
not
Melbourne,
be, it Orphans. May not be a really deep pool. That's all. Sprite had great Group 1 form against the boys in Wade Fried Races. Don't forget about that. You know, when you're talking about Dispatch as a leading chance in a Goodwood, 3 runs ago he won a benchmark 82, beat a horse called Quiddick. Who's that? Never heard of it. Then went to Oakbank and won a listed race. Then he beat Zalmona, who's 904 years old. He's 5, but to be fair, I just checked. But you know, he's no superstar, and he's being mentioned as a leading chance in a Goodwood. Give me a break.
So $3.80, Sprite a good thing?
It's not a good thing because of her racing pattern. That's what brings Sprite unstuck, as we've said so many times. But I am more than happy to stick fat with my girl Sprite after she finally grabbed another win in the Sangster. I'll back her again.
Well, Booker spanked her in the Oakley play.
Booker is a damn good filly. Well, mare now. But her Newmarket run is forgivable. The Oakley Plate win was great. I think they are the two. For me, the race begins and ends with the top of the tree here, Booker and Sprite, and I'd almost be bold enough to take the two of them as the only horses in the quaddy.
$10 for Booker, and they draw next to each other, 15, and Sprite 16 is a $3.80 chance. So
best roughie in the race is Steel Frost, blinkers on.
Only two hopes in the Goodwood for the Shark. Outside of that, you've already given us your best of the day in Adelaide. What race is that in?
Race four, number two, Nordic Symphony.
It's into $2.30.
That's okay. I think she's backable at that. She gets a great run from six for Craig Williams. We all know the Fillies Classic has a long tail each year. This year is no different. There's horses here that are hoping to stay. I think Nordic Symphony will stay. She's bred to stay. Rock Dove's going to give some sort of contest, I'd have thought, although the Barrier 18 probably pulls her up a little bit. Yeah, there's not a lot of stress here, I wouldn't have thought, for Nordic Symphony if she maintains the rage from the Schweppes Oaks when she was a very good run behind Princess Jenny and arguably a touch unlucky.
She was.
Not to finish in the placings. I think all things being even, she should win that. And in race six, there's two nice horses that you should be including in your quaddie. One of those is number five, Creativity. First run for Will Clarkin. Good quality filly. She's capable to this level. And Noriko. Really nice run first up at Flemington. Damien Oliver rides. Mick Price, second up form's good. She's a listed winner. I think she's in the game, or listed placed, but okay. She's in the game there.
Sol Miller gave Lady Cosmology a good push in that race.
Yeah, another one. Probably
well.
The other one for the quaddy.
Doomben Cup. Now, this is a lacklustre Doomben Cup as far
is it? What?
As I'm concerned. So how do we make a dollar out of it? Just back C Waller?
Yeah, I'm backing Youngstar. She's the best horse in this race. And, you know, when in doubt, default to the class. And she is the class. There are horses here that are coming off Sydney preps, that are trying to get a Group 1, that are hoping that they can run somewhere in the money. Youngstar, if you look at her spring form, second to Winks in a Turnbull, beaten a length. Seventh in a Caulfield Cup, great run. Sixth in a Melbourne Cup, beaten under six lengths. I thought she was more than okay in the all-aged fresh, and then in the Hollandale, heavy 10 was against her. She still found the line well. She's going to get a better surface this week. Out to 2,000 metres, I think she is a fantastic bet.
Well, she's currently around about $4.80, so...
Oh. Gimme.
The days of Rough Habits and Durbridges and Might and Powers winning the Doomben Cups are long gone, aren't they?
Well,
anything else
this year anyway.
Anything else on Doomben Cup Day? Tell us about Zoo Styles. $1.65.
Great to see him win. I think, you know, he's a three-year-old gelding, so we're going to be able to enjoy this horse, I would have thought, for a little bit longer, unless he gets sold to Hong Kong, which I hope he doesn't. But, yeah, really, really keen to see how he comes back. I think there's much anticipation around that return.
Sharky, wrap it up with your best from headquarters tomorrow.
Best from Flemington he's short. Be Good to Your Mother should be winning, but I think you can probably back Fidelia as well, or Miss Leonidas. Best each way at Flemington. The each way bet's probably the one I'm most keen about. Race four, Spielberg.
Spielberg and Dalmatia at $34 in race number seven as well. Sharky, good luck as always. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Miguel.
Back plenty of winners out there, punters, but don't go anywhere because coming up next, it's the Country Racing Show.
But she is a star. Libertini eased down in a hand canter. 1 by 2.5.
As the most resilient member of the Cummings family joins me. G'day, Anthony.
G'day, how are you?
Come on, put a wrap on her.
Well, I mean, she speaks for herself, really. Her first up effort was excellent. I mean, she ran the best final sectionals of the meeting at a carnival meeting at Randwick. So, you know, in the autumn, that's pretty good. And running second to a horse that I know good Alton thought was capable of troubling the winner of the slipper. So that is a good start. She handled a maiden pretty well off a wide gate and ran, you know, really good sectionals and did it very comfortably, as she did again on Saturday.
Chris Alford in the studio, an old mate from yesteryear. In the meantime, he's chalked up about 7,000 wins. That's how long it's been since I've seen him. How do you squeeze 7,000 wins into such a short lifetime? And then you're hovering on 99 Group 1 wins as well. When you look at those numbers, you wonder how you ever found the time to achieve it?
Pretty much. It sort of, you know, goes back. We can start racing when we're 16, so it's been a fairly long time. And, you know, when I started, I could never imagine, you know, doing anything like this.
The MRC has responded by saying nothing has changed and that even if we were keen to do it, the members would have to ratify it. But it still seems as though behind the scenes, Mick, there are discussions going on.
Yeah, without the stakeholder discussions, it needs discussing, I think, with broader racing community because we have a vested interest in it. It's such a good facility. just can't believe they just want to build more houses on it. I mean, we've got plenty of places to build houses and that big clear space there just for the community and just an opportunity for employment in the area. And it's an ideal training scenario. I know we hear about the, often hear the phrase, world-class training standards. We haven't got world-class training students in Australia. We've got nothing like it.
Greg Miller, of course, is the CEO of the Sandown Greyhound Racing Club. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, great, Matt. And thanks for coming here, RSN. It's great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's an exciting time as we start to count the days now. We've got the heats tomorrow night and the final next Friday night and a few trialists. So there's a little buzz about the place, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's a great time of year. We love this time of year, opportunity to showcase greyhound racing in what's normally the colder months, but we stand alone in this period, which is good.
What sort of a man was Pat Lawler?
Pat really was of great assistance to me, and you know, of all the stewards that I've worked with, there was no better race reader as a steward anywhere than Pat Lawler. He was the master of race reading, and to me, that is the number one asset for being a top steward.
We'll have the best of today's Racing Pulse ready for replay at rsn.net.au.